Hello friends, it's Monday morning. It's a beautiful Monday morning. Ipswich Town are back in the wicket winning habit. We are back in the podcast habit. It's time for the Kings of Anglia podcast. Your Ipswich Town dose of news and views every week. This week, again, it's an intimate, unplugged setting. It's just me and Hutchie in one of the meeting rooms at Archant Towers. The studio is not available to us because producer Ross is lost in Amsterdam. Who knows if he'll ever return. And Stuart Watson is taking a week off this week to celebrate being 45. So, with me, as ever, Andy Hutch Hogan.
Hello. This is it now. This is me and you. This is the new podcast.
It's a new vibe. I'm your host, of course, as ever, Mark Heath. And as I said, Andy, Town won again at the weekend. Before we get to that, though, obviously, we need to give the listeners, the KOA Army, an update on the state of your legs. Because on Thursday, you went out, Friday lunchtime, you went out for a nice little walk, a nice long walk, just celebrating in the use of those two things attached to your waist, possibly for the last time. Because, of course, you were threatened with getting a legging at Prenton Park from a Tranmere Rovers fan months ago. I see that you walked under your own steam into the podcast studio today. You are flexing your considerable calves as we speak. Goodness me, they are muscular, my friend. So your legs are intact. What if anything happened? Was there any drama at all at Prenton Park?
No dramas. I think he bottled it. I'm a legged man walking. I'm all good. I'm walking around. Was under no threat, which is just as well, given that my level of protection was Stuart Watson.
Yeah.
But no, both legs present and correct.
Yes.
Thanks for the concern, everybody. It was touching.
People genuinely were
fighting
your corner, metaphorically speaking, on Twitter.
Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. I'm pleased to see that you're still able to move under your own steam. That's good. Let's talk about football, shall we, Hutchie?
Football.
Ipswich Town went to Tranmere, played on the classic pudding of a pitch, sand pits galore. They went 1-0 down and they came back to win 2-1, firing up the promotion push once again, starting to float HMS Pistol League, perhaps, from the ship menders. I'm gonna throw something out there, Hutchie. This might be controversial. I think that might be the best win of Ipswich Town season so far, because obviously, it wasn't a shellacking in the domination of Accrington or the wins over Tranmere and Bolton and things like that. But they were 1-0 down, as I say, on a very difficult surface against a team scrapping for their lives away. They had to go to the well. They had to come back. And they did. And they got the points. They got all 3 points. What are you saying to that?
Thoroughly professional. Job done. Any win will do. They shouldn't have been behind. Tranmere didn't offer an awful lot during the course of the game, but it's just knew that set pieces would be their downfall if they were going to get beaten in this game. And worryingly, it looked like that might indeed happen. Manny Month,
Man Mountain.
Yeah, I believe that's what you have to call him.
Yeah,
isn't it? Man Mountain, Manny Month. I think he might have given Luke Chambers a bit of a push in the back, but either way, ball ends up in the back of the net. Half time, 1-0 down, and you are beginning to fear the worst, because that's what we do. That's what we have to do as people that follow this football team, fear the worst. But second half, very thorough job by Ipswich. On top for the majority of it. To their credit, they played some decent stuff, considering the state of the pitch, which was kind of flanked by two beaches with a swamp in the middle. Which is lovely, but two really good goals eventually. One
really good goals. Yeah.
We'll talk about those in a minute, I guess. Mm. But yeah, thoroughly professional, job done, and yeah, we may well look back at this one as being vital. I'd hope that one. If you're correct in saying that this is their biggest win of the season, they're going to have to surpass that. They're going to have to. We've been talking about statement wins for a while. They haven't had one against a kind of a promotion rival for some time. They're going to need to do that if they're going to get promoted. But for now, backing up a good Oxford draw and a win over Accrington, continuing an unbeaten league start to 2020 in awful conditions, you have to give them a lot of credit for that.
Mm. When I say biggest win, I think I'm probably talking more mentally than anything else. Because obviously it would have been easy, given their recent run of form, for them to throw their hands up in the air and say, we're not going to do it today, the pitch is crap, we can't play on this. Tranmere are really kind of sticking it to us, sort of thing. But no, they dug in, they turned it round, and like you said, the two goals were fantastic.
Yeah.
If you've not seen them, go to the Kings of Anglia Twitter page. They're both on there to watch.
Stolen from iFollow.
Yes.
There to watch.
Well, yes. Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, they're on there anyway.
The iFollow police will be after but after you.
We shall see. Flinadine Zidane's, of course, with the first one, a beautiful header. And then Caden Jackson lobbing the keeper. I've had a lot of angry Tranmere fans sharing that video as well, saying the keeper needs shooting. An angry lot out Tranmere way.
Yeah.
So the goals, they were cracking, weren't they?
Yeah, the first one was really good. Tranmere was starting to back off and back off Ipswich in the second half. The kind of defensive line was dropping deeper, and that caused them all kinds of trouble because it allowed Will Keane to get on. He likes to drop deep, we know that. Will Keane drops deep, gets on the ball, turns, tries to use it. And that's exactly what he did for this goal. He came deep, got on the ball, turned, and he looked up and he had room to drive into. The right back got drawn inside to him because he was heading towards goal. That leaves Luke Garbutt free, and we know what Luke Garbutt can do with the ball at his feet. Beautiful whipped cross, and Downs is there to head home really nicely. Really good goal. But they needed another one, and that came through Caden Jackson. But the credit for that needs to go to James Norwood as well. Mm. Brilliant clipped ball through in behind. Caden's well on side. And yeah, he's lobbed the goalkeeper. I can see what they're saying about their goalkeeper, though. He had a bad game down here as well, so he's not enjoyed it. Ipswich game, Scott Davis, so far this season.
Maybe he's getting a legging threat now.
Yeah, I think that's being chucked around for any poor performance up there.
Indeed. Anything else to take away from the game then? Obviously, the rotation policy for now appears to be put to bed. Is Will Norris now Town's number one?
Yeah.
Is that the right decision?
You can't. I'll always. Thomas Holy's still incredibly unlucky to be on the bench, but he should. He didn't deserve to be dropped out in the first place. But yeah, Will's playing well. There's no reason to change. So if you're shouting for Holy now, I don't know if that's realistic, because Norris has put that run of three games sort of before. Before Christmas and the Wickham game, where he was a little shaky, put that behind him. They're playing well as a team. There's a unit forming there at the back. As unlucky as Holy is, I'm not going to change my mind. I still think he was unlucky to not be the incumbent when the rotation dance stopped. Musical chairs did stop.
Yeah.
But it has. And Will Norris is a very good goalkeeper. I've said that all along. Very good goalkeeper. Just maybe Thomas Holy was a bit unlucky, but no, don't change it now.
Is it too simplistic, though, to suggest that obviously there's been this call for a long time to stop the rotation policy and go with a set starting 11 and a set system? Is it too simplistic to say now it seems that Lambert has decided he's not going to do the rotation thing anymore, that Town have turned their fortunes around? Is that too simple?
I think it was one of a number of factors in the long winless run in November and December. Certainly, and you can see that just from the way that the players are speaking about it, how happy they are that it's come to an end. It's pretty clear to me that a lot of the discussion in this hour-long Lincoln lock-in that we now call it at Lincoln, I would imagine I'd be surprised if the players weren't voicing that about the rotation system, that they need time to build relationships, and it is. You know, it's working for Ipswich. It is, but it's maybe a little simplistic to say that, but that's the only reason. But it is certainly a reason.
Mm. Who stood out for you then? I know you made Flynn Downs your man of the match.
Yeah, kind of.
Well, you gave him 8. No one else got an 8.
They did.
I'm assuming. Did he?
Yeah. James Wilson got an 8 as well.
Okay, I missed that.
Yeah, I thought James Wilson actually played incredibly well.
Wilson was your man of the match then, you're saying?
Him and Flynn Downs, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Wilson. I thought Wilson was... James Wilson, he knows his strengths, he plays to them, and he knows his weaknesses as well.
Mm.
And that's really important in that he's a sensible football player. He knows what he is, and he's a defender first and foremost. And in moments where you need somebody like that, or on waterlogged pitches at Oxford, and on the beach at Tranmere, and he defended incredibly well. He's solid. He's playing in the middle of that back three, which is allowing Chambers and Wolfenden to be the eye catchers, the getting forward. But he's staying at home and he's doing some really good work there. But yeah, Flynn played exceptionally well as well. But yeah, James Wilson was a big one for me.
What other notes have you from Tranmere then? Not necessarily game related. How was your trip up and down? How are the boys? How's the Scarlet Lady? What did you eat? Give me a flavour. Bad. Give me a flavour. Take us behind the scenes.
Bad, bad food day, as always.
What?
It's just appalling. The Saturday diet is ridiculous.
Was it okay dining day?
No, that's to come soon. Mm-hmm. We didn't go that far up the A1, so we ended up in the Harvester at Donington Services at 10:30.
Where else would you rather be on a Saturday morning?
Had Eggs Benedict there. Yeah. That was basically... Eggs were fine, nice runny yolks. Don't think the hollandaise was fresh. And the muffin was barely toasted. The bacon was a bit chewy. Not great.
Grim.
I'll be putting my expenses claim in for that soon. Then I just ate a whole packet of fruit pastels.
Wow.
Why not?
You must have been buzzing.
Just a tube one, not a bag one. That's fine. Then got a free pie at Tranmere. Ate that.
Quality of pie?
Good, actually.
Yeah, decent.
Yeah, steak and ale, that one.
Nice.
That was all right. Stu had a cheese pie, which...
It's an unusual decision.
Not cheese and onion, though.
Just cheese?
Cheese.
Just melted cheese?
He said he liked it. It looked like kind of like a very, very thick sort of macaroni cheese bechamel
sauce
going on. It's not for me.
No.
But he enjoyed it.
That's going to be Barry. Flogging up the arteries as well.
And then on the way home, stopped at the services, did some work in the... where were we? Chester Way. Went to McDonald's, didn't we? I don't like going to McDonald's. I do it very rarely, but the choices were limited.
Yeah. Big Mac?
No, Stu had a Big Mac. I had some chicken selects. Very nice.
What are they? Nugget things?
They're like strips.
Nice.
They're all right.
Good choice,
some,
to be fair.
Then that was okay. And then I think an Ipswich fan took a picture of Stu and I ordering at our little... ordering terminals, put that on the internet. That's good.
That's what happens when you're massive.
Thanks for that.
You're a big deal. I haven't seen this.
And that ends another glorious dietary day on the road.
Yeah. Do you, on a Sunday, do you try and make up for that by just eating granola and lettuce and stuff?
I always make sure I have a nice porridge for breakfast on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Obviously stodgy, but it's almost a deep serving as a detox.
Yeah.
But try to on a Sunday. Got home... Got to bed about 1:30, 2:00, up again at 7:00, good times.
Yeah,
always the same.
Yeah, good fun. Hutchie, obviously normally as well on this pod we talk about sexy stuff and we have hot chocolate or maybe Right Said Fred playing in the background while we talk about transfer news. You're looking concerned at your laptop.
Just got an email that I could probably do with replying to at some point.
But do you want to do that?
No, it's fine. I can do it as we go.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Multitask. Sexy stuff. There's not really a lot of sexy stuff to report at this stage of the week, but there is some sexy stuff in terms of someone saying they don't want to leave. You had a chat to Flynnadine after the game, and he said, I want to stay, essentially. I'm just focused on town, which obviously I'd imagine he would say. He's not going to say, come and get me, Premier League clubs, but just talk a little bit about that.
That was heartfelt. He meant that. Most footballers would say the same in that scenario, I think. Not all of them would mean it.
Mm.
He did. You could tell. He's been at Ipswich since he was 7. He said that he's blocking it all out, any kind of links elsewhere. And in his wonderful kind of Essex way, I've got to stay and get the town promoted, ain't I?
In it.
So, and he meant it.
Yeah.
He meant it. He cares. Mm. He cares. It means a lot to him. Mm. And it would be brilliant for him. Like, we talk about this before. Like, players don't get promotions on their CVs just like that, at a click of a fingers. Like, some good professionals go through their whole career with no medals, no promotions, no cups, no international recognition, nothing. And for Flynn to potentially, and Luke Wolfenden, I guess they're in the same bracket here, for them both to have the chance to get a promotion on their CV with the club they've been at since they were 7, 8, 9 years old, alongside players who they've been with since that age as well. It's massive, and they want to be a part of that. That's not to say that one day in the future that might change and they want to move on because he's an ambitious guy, and it's only right that he wants to play at a high level as possible. But right now, he wants to be here. He loves it. He's at the centre of the team. He's growing. He's playing really well.
It'd be the second promotion, of course, on his CV.
It would be, yeah. Of course it would, yes.
No small shakes at all at his stage of his career.
And then he needs he's got League Two to League One. He's trying to get a League One to the Championship. Then
there you go. The obvious next step is taking Town straight to the Premier League.
Exactly, back to back.
And then winning the Premier League. A couple of seasons
time? This Liverpool side looked good.
Sure.
But could they do it on a bobbly, wet, sandy pitch?
No.
About 5 miles from their own house?
You can't.
No.
No, they can't.
They can't.
You can't see Salah and Alexander-Arnold, all that sort of people. No, not on that pitch.
It's not for them.
Absolutely not. So that endeth. Oh, just before we leave transfer talk, of course, we must mention the boy Adrizzi.
He's
signed for Ayr.
Yeah, he's on loan at Ayr.
The boss, Mark Kerr, he knows. He says they've been tracking Aaron for some time. He's tremendous. The second coming of Daryl Murphy. That might be journalistic license. And he played at the weekend, I saw.
Did he?
Putting a sizzling run to win a corner from the highlight that I saw.
Someone's keeping an eye on things.
He's still out there. The saviour is in waiting. Actually, this looks important. Is this...
No, it's fine. Don't worry.
You sure? Okay, yeah. Cool. Anything else to mention, Hutchie, before we hit a significant portion of mailbag?
I guess a tiny little bit to mention, actually. We talked about Lewis Gibson a lot on here.
Mm-hmm.
The Everton player who is very much a player Ipswich-like, but he won't be leaving Everton until he signed a new contract. Interestingly, he was on the bench for a Premier League game this weekend, which I don't know what that says about where those contract negotiations are. Maybe that's a little, come on, lad.
Yeah.
Here's what you could win. Incentive, there is a part. Yeah. Because for him, it's all about a pathway to the to first team football. Maybe that's Everton just showing him that, here you go, there is a little pathway for you.
Mm.
Sign this contract, please. I don't know. But it'd be interesting to see what happens if and when he does sign a contract, because I know he's a player Ipswich like. Everton like sending players on loan to Ipswich. It's always worked out pretty well for them. Matt Pennington in the past, Callum Connolly as well. So we'll see. It's not impossible that one gets done as well, because we've still not seen Josh Earle in Ipswich yet, and I think he's got a little job to do to push his way in. It wouldn't shock me if they brought in another centre-back as well, but we'll see.
We will see. Before we move on to mailbag, let's have a little TV corner. I know people like TV recommendations. You yesterday finished watching Don't F With Cats.
Finished it.
Which was a gold-plated Heath recommendation on Netflix.
Yep.
How did you find it?
Very good. I'm a little bit sad because in an ideal world, I'd like to have binged that all 3 hours at once. But because of the way that family life is for us at the moment, I kind of do later work. My wife does very early work.
Mm.
Getting 3 hours of solid TV in, very difficult. So we kind of watched it over three sittings.
Yeah.
Which I think probably took a little bit away from...
Yeah.
From...
Binge watching is definitely the way to go.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think we watched the last 40 minutes last night.
Yeah.
And I won't lie to you, I don't think we should give too much away. Because I can't imagine it's been watched by everyone yet.
Yeah.
It's very good.
Yeah.
I was expecting something even more shocking at the end, but I think I'd have really appreciated the way that it ended.
Yeah.
Had I binged,
I think because it builds.
Yeah,
it's building, isn't it? And then if you step away and you just come back for the last 40 minutes, you've kind of forgotten all that goes before it. It's definitely one to binge watch.
It's very similar to when you build yourself up to a football match.
Yeah,
and then it gets suspended due to heavy rain. And you go back to the dressing room. Others stay out on the pitch, binge watch all the way through, come out with intensity. Others, Oxford United, retreat to the dressing room / bed, like I did. And then you come back and you're not quite at it straight away.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I feel about it. But yeah, very, very good. That's a Heath recommendation, which I've taken up.
Yeah.
Enjoyed it. And now I would fully recommend it too. So that's two.
That's the Heath Warren seal of approval
down
right
the
there.
Axis.
I've got two more Heath recommendations for you. I binge watched over the weekend The Mind of Aaron Hernandez.
Yes, that's good.
It is good.
Yeah,
it's not as good as Don't F With Cats, I don't think.
No,
it's slightly unusual in its treatment of the Hernandez as a character, I think. a guy who is essentially a triple killer. All right, two of them he didn't get convicted for, but it's very kind of almost apologetic in its treatment of him, which I think is an unusual stance. But it is very much worth watching. You forget how mental that story was.
I know.
One of the biggest NFL stars on the planet gets done for murder, and it turns out he may have actually committed a murder and then played a full season of American football. And the other thing I want to mention is The Outsider, which is a Stephen King series which just started on Sky Atlantic. It's about, it starts with the grisly murder of a young lad, and it's taking some very, very dark turns already. There's only been two, so you can watch it on catch up. Third one tonight, 9 p.m. That is shaping up to be extraordinary stuff.
That's three pieces of very, very dark television.
Yeah, you can see what where my mind is when I watch TV.
I'm with you. Darkness is my old friend.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. Yeah. Shall we go into mailbag?
Yes.
Get some light among the darkness.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, we'll
depends
see.
On the question.
We'll see. First question.
I'm going to sing a song.
Go. Sorry.
Mailbag, mailbag. It's time for the best two podcast people to dip into the mailbag. Boop, boop.
Other podcast people are available. They're just not as good.
They're just not here, are they?
Just not here. No commitment. Mark Page. Who wins in a fight and why? A prime Mike Tyson or a hashtag Honey Badger? I assume here he's not saying the Honey Badger, because obviously Tyson would eviscerate Lambert in a matter of seconds. Mike Tyson versus an actual Honey Badger, probably more of a fight.
Yeah. Are we overhyping the fighting ability of just a run-of-the-mill Honey Badger?
Why? Kind of, they are notorious for being fearless.
What all of them?
Aggressive, like, yeah.
Because like, obviously Mike Tyson is kind of like top-end aggression in the human world.
Yeah.
What if the Honey Badger that he has to fight is like, I don't know, works in Greg's.
A bit lazy.
Yeah, just not up, not bit, really up for it.
Bit he's, more of a pacifist.
Yeah, he's not into all of that. He's.
I assume we're talking here about a prime Mike Tyson against a prime Honey Badger.
Okay, so you're taking like the Honey Badger Tyson.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
If there is such a thing.
Okay, well.
In that fight, that's an interesting fight, I've got to be honest. Obviously, Tyson's got the power in his hands, but the Honey Badger's.
And
got,
his teeth.
What? Well, but the Honey Badger's got teeth. And I'd imagine their biting power is going to be more significant. Plus, they've got those big old claws. And they've got a never back down, don't quit attitude. Whereas Mike Tyson, famously, often crumbled under pressure in the big fights against the big opponents. So
is this a big fight against a big opponent?
I'm thinking if he's what you call an on-top fighter, Mike Tyson. A flat-track bully, I believe you'd call him in football.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking if the Honey Badger gives him some back, he questions himself. I'm saying Honey Badger's got the advantage. Honey Badger goes on to win.
Where's it being staged? MSG?
Good question.
It's Vegas?
Got be, it's got to be Vegas, hasn't it? I'd have thought.
Indoors or actually in the desert?
I'd like to see it actually in a desert. Take it back to the...
If it's in the desert, if it had to be in the ring, I'd back Tyson.
Yeah.
If it's in kind of Honey Badger's backyard,
yeah,
you'd back the... Does he have to wear gloves, Honey Badger?
That would render two of his biggest weapons...
If it's in the ring, he has to wear the gloves, doesn't he? If
but also, the, of course, you have to explain the concept of the ring to the Honey Badger. He's got to understand he has to stay in the ring.
Yeah.
Whereas his natural instinct may be to retreat and fight another day in another part of the arena.
So what we're saying then is this is all about setting.
Setting and also how the first exchanges go, I think.
Touch gloves.
Exactly, exactly. I'd like to see it. I wouldn't like to see it, actually, because animal cruelty is abhorrent. But hey, in a fictional fight, I'm probably leaning towards the Honey Badger. The only thing I don't know is how much Honey Badgers weigh. Could Tyson realistically punt the Honey Badger straight in the kisser, thereby ending the fight? But then Honey Badgers fight lions and stuff, and lions weigh a lot. And I'd say they're more ferocious than
I
even
think
Iron
that's the
Mike
beauty
Tyson.
Of this fight, Mark. Yeah. Mark, there's nobody knows.
Exactly.
I'd pay for it.
Pay-per-view.
I don't really go in for pay-per-view stuff. Mm. But this, probably.
This could be it. Animal versus beast. Matt Thomas.
Friend of the show.
95. Number 5, excuse me. Like Sir Alf in 66 and Sir Bobby in 1990, has Lambert stumbled upon a formation and lineup that will bring more successful play and automatic promotion? And will he show hubris in admitting the massive changes before were counterproductive?
We talked about this one briefly already, haven't we?
Mm.
I guess you can look at the rotation. It's worked differently for different players. Someone it didn't work for is probably Alan Judge, who's not had a chance to get any kind of any kind of run, any kind of momentum. But now he is, and he's playing better. Although not his best game at the weekend, but he's still contributing and still so much better in a central role. Then I think you could also argue that it has maybe worked for people like Will Keane, who have been phased into the side and is now able to perform at a good level. So I don't know if he's necessarily stumbled onto the system, because they did actively, you've got to give Lambert credit, they did actively switch to go to this system. I can't remember when it was, probably October time. And then have been kind of swapping it around ever since. So, that, you know, they've not just stumbled across it. It's something they were looking to do and work, and they did go for it and work with. But I take the point. It's quite hard to unpick this one. I think Stu said in his verdict today that you can argue both sides. Like Lambert would argue, obviously, that the rotation policy is what's feeding into this good form now. Whereas you can also just look at a 12-game winless run and ask, was it really worth, if that was the price, was that a price that was worth paying to get yourself into a run of form in January, i.e. not winning any games in basically all of November and December? So it's a difficult one, and I hope that we don't have to debate this for the rest of the season, and that they can just go on and it almost becomes irrelevant, because they are in good form and they are winning games and they are pushing for the top two. That's what I hope. But it's certainly an interesting one.
I think we may have to pause, because in the time that you've been talking, someone has emerged at the door, and I think they may be signalling they have this room. So we might have to...
Oh, dear.
Yes, we might have to relocate to finish off mailbag, and you can answer that email. But I think we should probably just pause and
see.
Who
is it? Is it someone important?
Yeah, it's quite a big cheese. So. Okay. We'd better pause. To be continued. Okay, we are back. A slight relocation. Surprisingly, we went into the shower room. That was too echoey. You may remember that we were in there once last year. Not there, we decided. All the other rooms at Archant Towers are unfortunately booked up. So we've relocated into my car, which is unusual. So we're actually sitting now in the car park at Archant Towers, the limited car park, it's fair to say. Obviously, I get a spot because I'm a big deal. So yeah, we are literally now sitting in the front seats of my car. Hutchie is holding the microphone in between us, like a strange-looking ice cream. at least the seats are comfy.
And this is nice.
It's all right, isn't it? It's a shame there's not much more going on. But so yes, we're going to proceed.
This is a Vauxhall Mokka.
This is a Vauxhall Mokka, yeah.
It's nice, isn't it?
It's all right.
Nice car. Run well.
There are other cars out there. Yeah, I'm very pleased with it.
Good. What mileage are you on?
Just over 50,000 now, mate.
Good.
Need a couple of new front tyres.
Yep.
That's costly, as you know.
Yep. A couple of chips in the windscreen as well.
Yeah, I've always got chips.
May need looking at, mate.
That's the A14, mate.
Yeah, need to get yourself into a supermarket car park at some point.
I need to get them sorted. What I do with them generally is just leave them, and then they eventually crack, and I end up having to pay the excess, and I'm annoyed with myself, because I'm quite lazy about things like that. So welcome to my car. You've been in it quite a few times already.
But never quite like this.
Never to record a podcast. And ironically, it seems that the acoustics in the car are much better than anywhere else in the office. So
famously, Vauxhall Mokkas are designed with podcasting in mind, which is convenient given maybe that you are a podcast.
We could make this a feature. We could maybe we could drive around while doing it.
We're after sponsor. We're always after sponsorship, aren't we? So Vauxhall,
yeah.
If you're listening,
absolutely.
Give us all a fleet of Mokkas.
Yeah,
and we'll do a podcast live from here every time.
Absolutely. Let's get back into the mailbag, Hutchie. We've just been talking about rotation policy. Christian Davis, on the back of that, says, given that we're now playing much more fluently, do we really need to add any more new signings during the transfer window?
Well, we were talking about Lewis Gibson earlier, central defenders. I would say that back three that's in there at the moment is pretty set, because they're playing well. Chambers, Wilson, Wolfenden. Barring anything happening with Wolfenden, which I can't see happening, I would imagine that's pretty set. Josh Earle's going to have a little bit of a battle to get in there. So do they really need Lewis Gibson? I know they like him. They had a deal agreed for him, subject to that Everton contract. Not sure they necessarily need that. Gwyn Edwards is getting better as a right wing back. He had another decent game at the weekend. I think he's growing into that role. He's benefiting from run of games and learning that position. Central midfield, you certainly don't need
need anything new in there. There's still John Nolan, Cole Skews, Teddy Bishop, Andre Dizel in the wings. Andre Dizel not even making the bench for the weekend, which is interesting. And then I'd say the squad needs wingers, but if you're not going with wingers, then do you really need to go and invest in them? Maybe not. I don't think it would be a disaster if you got through to the end of the month with nothing added. But I would also be surprised if they don't just scratch an itch and bring somebody in.
Mm. Okay. Amber Redmond. Any truth in the rumour that the Athletic have offered Dr. Watson an exciting new role and he's having time off to consider it? I can neither confirm nor deny that. The official line is that Stewie is off celebrating his birthday.
Yeah, we'll see.
Tom Bull on the Andre Dizel says, is it worth giving Andre a new contract and then sending him out on loan?
I think you'd struggle to do that, even if that's what you wanted to do. I think, look, they've offered him a contract, we know that. He's not signed one as of yet. His contract situation is interesting. We think there's an option in there to renew it automatically for 1 year, which there's no reason for them not to take. But where are you going to loan him to? Mm. What kind of situation are you loaning him into? And would he be up for that? Especially if you obviously got to get that done quickly. You're not going to loan him out unless you've renewed his contract. So you've got 2 weeks to get that done. Mm. They've not got it done yet. I can't see that happening. And if you're talking about a loan next season, if you've only taken the option on his contract, you're not going to loan him out for what is the final year of his contract. So no, I don't think that's a particularly sensible route to go down, to be honest.
Fair play. Luke Moles, predictions for which game will seal our promotion? Rochdale at home for me.
I think this is going to the final day.
Yeah.
Which is MK Dons at home.
Sunday. Alistair Rattray, if you had to creep up behind either Andy or Ross and pop a bag loudly, which one would be funnier to watch? I'm going definitely Ross with that.
Absolutely.
I don't think you'd take kindly to that. Ross, however, would probably jump out of his seat and then have a laughing fit. So I'd imagine that would be funnier. Peter Dwerryhouse, one of my favourite names. Seeing as you appreciated my name on Friday, if you could change your first name by Depol, what would you change it to? And he adds, nice to see Hutch alive. The word on the street is you had to fight off 13 Scousers.
Just 13?
One Hutch versus 13 Scousers, not really a fair fight. In favour of the Scousers. If you could change your first name, Hutchie, what would you change it to? I'm saying Marvellous. I love the first name Marvellous.
Of course you are.
Yeah.
I'm changing my name to Alan. No, I don't know.
Alan Warren.
I don't know. I'll just probably just go straight to Hutch.
Yeah?
Just embrace the brand.
Hutch Warren. Yeah, I could see that. That would work. Nigel G...
Friend of the show, number 9 with a big fish.
What did we decide it was?
It's not a bass, it's a carp.
It's a carp. If journalists had a transfer market with prices on par with football, what value would you four lads assess each other as? Presumably Ross, lightning strike emoji, would be classed as a promising youngster, but by hosting the strike has increased his value. So what would we be worth? I mean, obviously, I've got absolutely no value at all as a player. I'm more of a sideline ranter.
Yeah, managers don't really...
They don't track the coin,
do they? They don't trade. They're not sold, bought and sold.
No.
You're sitting on a big fat contract that you might get enticed by another project.
Yeah.
Like Pep.
Yes.
Who
very much
just fancies another move, another big club to manage.
Me and Pep, very much, yeah. I can see that. Obviously, Stewie's the kind of... how would you describe Stewie? He's kind of a stoic, veteran, solid, midfield.
Yeah.
Probably maybe even centre-back, actually, thinking about it. I'm not sure what his value would be in the open market. And then yourself, you're the kind of dynamic, creative midfield dynamo, I'd say. So of all of us, I'd probably say that you would have the highest value on the transfer market.
In the transfer market, I'll take that. My agent will take that as well.
Because of your creativity and insight, as aforementioned on this podcast. Roscoe would be a very young, raw, potentially promising recruit, but with character issues that need to be ironed out. He'd be a bit like a young Jermaine Pennant.
Okay. You know? Minus the tag.
Minus the tag and all the tats.
Does he need to go out on loan for a season?
I'd certainly say they'd be benefiting Ross going out on loan and getting some scars.
Yeah,
with like Phil Brown.
Take the Wolfenden route and go and get scars on your nose with Phil Brown.
Exactly.
Ross, you're off to Swindon.
Martin Dye, of course, attender of the live show. Good to hear from you, Martin. When we get promoted to the championship, I'm going glass half full. Can we keep hold of Wolfie? Every game, he just seems to be getting better.
I'd hope so, yeah. I think that's certainly the easiest way to keep hold of him, getting up, playing. It might be the only way to keep him. I hope that's not true, but it may well be the only way to keep him. But I think we'll probably end up... I think Paul Lambert would probably address that one in exactly the same way once if and when Ipswich are a championship club, as he is now, in that money does ultimately talk. But you're in a much better negotiating position then. If the worst does happen, you'd hope the fee will be bigger. He'll be coming up. He'll be a player with a promotion on him, on his back. He'll have another 20 games in of this level of football, and you'll be selling as a championship club. So if the worst does happen, you would hope they'd be getting a significantly bigger fee. But I sincerely hope we can see Wolfie as an Ipswich player for a good few years. Yeah.
Before taking the next question, I'd just like to reflect on the fact that we're currently sitting in my car, in the car park, and we're getting paid to do this, Hutchie. Life's not too bad, is it?
It's all right. It's got a nice fence to look at in front of us.
Yeah, lovely view.
I was just looking through. If you look through the fence, you can see like a nice church spire.
Oh, art.
Over there, which is nice. Obviously, we've got Portman Road to our left.
Which is always nice.
Which is always nice to see. Got the Cobbold stand. Sir Ralph Ramsey stand there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is our life.
It's all right. I think this might have to be the way forward.
Yeah, well, I'm all for it, mate.
Car cast.
I'd turn on the heated seats, but I think that might make the engine and all that sort of kick in, and we get the fan and all that, and that would be bad for audio.
That'd be awful.
Mike, I'm not going to read out Mike's full name because he's gone a little bit Simpsons.
Ah, Mike. Very good. Very that good name. Mike. That name was in fact read out at Portman Road earlier in the season.
Oh, was it?
They do a first time fans initiative where if it's your first game, you can have your name read out over the PA.
Yeah.
And I assume it must have been this same gentleman with that name, Mike.
Banter from Mike.
Was read out in front of 20,000 people.
Brilliant.
A few laughs.
Just a quick peek behind the scenes, Mike wants. Why aren't the press conferences recorded live anymore or put out live?
The club don't want them to be.
Fair play.
So they're not.
Easy days.
You can listen to it if you... You get it on your podcast feed.
Yes.
You subscribe to Kings of Anglia, you'll get every Paul Lambert press conference on there. So don't you worry.
Just not live, but in full, so you can listen
and
back
within
to
minutes
it.
Of it. Within minutes. Of it happening, don't worry. And there's not an awful lot to watch anyway, let's be honest. It's all about what's said. So
Andy G, given the fact we haven't beaten any of the sides in the top seven, would you be confident if we were in the playoffs?
I'm never confident in the playoffs. History has taught me that you are not confident in the playoffs, but if it was to even be in the playoffs by May, they're going to have to have beaten some teams in and around them by then. So no, Ipswich would have a good chance in the playoffs. That's what the playoffs can bring. Big players can come to the fore in the playoffs. We've seen that before with Ipswich, and the teams that Ipswich have played in the playoffs in the past. They're for big game players. Ipswich have got some of them. So yeah, let's cross that bridge when we come to it, but there's some work to be done before they even get there.
Okay. Barney wants to know, does Danny Rowe still have a part to play? He can't do the wing-back role like Edwards and behind Judge. And he's behind Judge, Bish, Nolan at least. Could he be sold? Is he still injured, Danny Rowe?
He's still injured, yeah. So I don't think he'll be sold. I believe he's out of contract in the summer as well. I think I'm right in saying that. So in terms of a sale, unlikely. I think you need to... Given that... the lack of wingers that are currently in the Ipswich squad, you maybe don't want to be getting rid of them because I'm not... You know, it's working for Ipswich at the moment, but I don't think it's entirely set in stone that this system will be used from now till the end of the season. It's not inconceivable that will change, and you need Danny Rowe and you need Gwion Edwards as options on the wing, in addition to Freddie Sears, I guess, as well. But you can't. I wouldn't be getting rid of him just yet. The contract thing is another discussion, though, but maybe that's one for another day.
Let's take a few more questions before we go for a little drive. I'll take you for a drive-through.
That'd be nice.
JT, Bish is looking a better prospect than Judgy. Should we look to cash in on Judge?
No.
Easy. Benjamin ITFC, I think this is Benjamin Herrier, our old friend.
What's better, that or Dwerry House?
Peter Dwerry House, Benjamin Herrier. Probably Herrier. I like saying Herrier. but potentially both are dwarfed by Martin Bosanquet, which is a lovely name.
The Mount Rushmore.
Indeed. Will Freddie Sears ever get back to his former best? I feel that if we get promoted, he could find it difficult in the Championship.
I don't know. It's hard to say, isn't it? I hope he does. It's very hard to say. He's not had enough minutes, really, so far to know about that. He looked better at Oxford. He started at Exeter in the Elf Trophy, and he looked okay. He looked maybe lacking a step, a little rusty, but he looked better in the Oxford game. Let's give him some time. I'm certainly not writing him off just yet. He's a good player. He's a very good player. Just think back to that first month of Paul Lambert's reign, when they were playing high intensity, high energy, getting high on those flanks. The system would need to change for him to be doing that again, and it's going to be difficult for him to play as a central striker at the moment ahead of Norwood, Jackson and Keane, I would say. But no, he's a very good player and he's got plenty to offer, certainly at this level, and I think back in the Championship as well.
Speaking of getting high, I wonder how Ross is getting on in Amsterdam.
He's still alive.
Yeah.
I've seen some pictures and he's still alive, which is all we can really ask for.
Yeah, fingers crossed he'll be back later on this week for the second podcast on Thursday, which will probably be a reversal of the usual podcast. We'll be in the studio on Thursday.
How exciting.
With the nonsense. Final question, I think, from Glory Days Artwork. Brad was there at the live pod, has his great pieces you can buy, including the Honey Badger hoodie.
Are you wearing that much?
They're not sold out. I wear it all the time at home, mate.
Do you?
Absolutely. It's a lovely hoodie. Has James Norwood's character rubbed off on Caden Jackson? He seems more determined, tougher and full of self-belief compared to last season. His recent performances have really impressed me, both on and off the ball. KJ, thriller himself, he's got 9 goals, he's got 6 assists, he's contributing all over the pitch this season. Yeah. Has James Norwood helped that?
Bumped into Caden yesterday in Felix. So.
Did you?
Yeah, with his little boy.
Have you got a special handshake?
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't reveal it.
Yeah, his partner looked very confused when we started doing that. No, I think that's a really good point, actually. I think he must have done. I think he has rubbed off on him, because Norwood's a different character. We know that. Caden's first season as an Ipswich player was really difficult. That jump he made from League Two to the Championship and into a Championship team that struggled from the off, essentially. A really hard first season at a big club for a player who's taken not the conventional route to get to this point. I spoke to him in Germany at the training camp in Germany, and you could tell then that there was a kind of a bit between his teeth, a glint in his eye that maybe kind of in a horrible way, relegation was kind of a fresh start that he needed. I'm not convinced he expected to be starting games at the start of the season, but he's earned that right with his performances in pre-season. And the question's right there. It's Brad's right. Recently, he's been contributing incredibly, both on and off the ball, particularly off the ball. I think his job, as much as it is to score goals, his job is to be a pest and drag defenders wide into those channels and make room for others. And he's been doing that really well. He's been doing some good work on the flanks as well. He's an improving crosser of the ball and a good finish as well at the weekend, a really, really good finish, composure. But a lot of Norwood's character, I think you can see that rubbing off on him a bit. I think it's rubbed off on the team.
Yeah.
A bit of bullishness, a bit of belief. And I think that's probably why, I think if you ask Luke Chambers, he would say that bringing James Norwood into their environment has been a really good thing, because it needed a bit more of that brashness, almost bullying, to bully other teams and recognise what being Ipswich Town should be and how dominant you should be. And as much as we can critique Norwood's kind of performances on the pitch, and there have been times where he's not been at it and things like that, but I think off the pitch he's certainly helped the dressing room, that's for sure. That's a very long answer.
It's a good answer.
But there are only two of us in here.
Absolutely, it's a good answer. It's a good question, Brad. And with that, that will finish mailbag today. Sean Young has actually asked about Conor McGregor's comeback. Suffice to say, I thought it was tremendous, Sean. I'll answer in more depth to your tweet personally. I think that's a good length of time we've been doing the podcast for today, Hutchie. Have you got any other business before I take our leave?
No other business.
Should we fire the car up?
Where are we actually going for a little drive?
Why don't we just go for a little drive? We go for a little drive-through. Can you do drive-through Nando's?
You'd do well to drive through this particular Nando's.
Yeah, we're going
to
struggle, aren't we? There's the fans.
Let the fans, begin.
The fans cutting in.
Like Crystal Maze.
So we better just say thanks for joining us today. As ever, click subscribe on your various podcast providers. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. We had a couple of them.
The first comment.
That's loud.
That's the radio.
That's the radio. Just turn that off. That was the Fight Disciples podcast. Another great podcast if you're into
it. Is that an Archant podcast?
It's not an Archant podcast, but it's a very good podcast.
Not interested then.
I'd highly recommend it. If we could get it on, if we could get it on the Archant network, that would be tremendous. Hopefully you've enjoyed today's unplugged, kind of slightly shambolic podcast, I think you'd say.
A charming,
yeah, quaint and charming. We'll be back in the studio with Roscoe, not with Stewie, on Thursday, hopefully, with all the nonsense from the usual show. So join us again then.
From true crime to football, Brexit to folklore. For more great podcasts from Archant, head to audioboom.com/channel/Archant.